Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to turn with me in your Bible, we're going to be in James chapter 1. And our text is going to come from one verse of Scripture. And this verse is so clear. I have loved this verse for years. This is such a clear declaration of the gospel of salvation. This is such a clear outline in how our Lord saved His people. And it's verse 18, James chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Now, don't you love how clear God's word is? Isn't that so clear, so easy to understand? "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." What He is giving us is a who, what, how, and why. If you really think about what that verse of Scripture is saying, He's telling us who, what, how, and why. Of His own will. Who? Of His own will. What? Begat He us. How? With the word of truth. Why? That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now, the reason people go to church, or let me say it like this, this ought to be the reason why all men and women go to a place to worship God, hear from God. The reason that men and women go to church is to find out something about salvation. We need to know the truth about salvation. We need salvation. What motivates men and women to go to a place and hear a man preach from the Bible is, deep down, they know, we all know, that we're sinners. We all know that. And that's the motivation to go hear about salvation and hear about the things of eternity. We know that we're sinners and we know that we have a need. Now, the problem for men and women all over the world is they go to a place to hear from God's word. But most men who stand in pulpits today do not preach God's word. That's a big problem, isn't it? They go to hear the truth of what God has to say concerning the salvation of a sinner. But men do not stand up and preach the truth of what God has to say concerning the salvation of a sinner. And that's a big problem. Instead of declaring this good news, it's called. The gospel's called good news. It's good news of a finished salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ. But instead of declaring that, instead of standing up and just like Moses said, "Be still and see the salvation of the Lord." Wait, rest. That's the message of the gospel, rest. But instead of saying that, these men will stand up and spend all of their time trying to get men and women to do something. Now, I want to back up a little bit and repeat this. The gospel is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Rest in Christ. Look to Christ. But instead of telling people that, men stand up and they try to get men and women to do something. Now, you think about the times that you have sat in a church service, listened to a man stand up and tell me if that is not so. They stand up and spend all of the time that they're given trying to get men and women to do something. They want them to do something. You have to do something. If you want to get right with God, you need to do this, or you need to stop doing this. And sadly, it works. Their tactics work. Men and women start doing or stop doing. And the lies fool these poor souls. And these poor souls leave that place wherever they went and whoever they heard, they leave that place saying things like this: I got saved. They listen to what the man said do. They've decided to do it, so they say, I got saved. Or they say, I made my decision today. I made my decision. Now, is that what the declared truth of God's Word, is that what the truth of God's Word will cause a sinner to say? Is that the response? When God's truth is declared, when a sinner hears what God has said, is that the response that that sinner has? I made my decision to get saved. Is that what men and women say? After they truly hear from God, God opens their eyes, opens their ears. The answer is that's not the response. That's not the response. And I want to ask all of us this morning this question. I want to ask myself, and I want to ask you, both of us. And let's answer this in our hearts. Let's answer this honestly in our hearts. Who decided to save us? Who decided to save us? Did we decide? Or did God decide? Who made the decision to save us? Well, what does our text say? James 1 verse 18 says, of His own will. Of His own will. Somebody will say, they'll try to make the argument that we need to at least consider man's free will. We don't. We don't. We don't even need to give it the time of day. I don't know why this flesh tries to convince itself that it has a free will. The flesh loves the thought of a free will. It has the final say in the matter. That's what the flesh believes. I have the final say over whether or not I'm going to be saved. In John 6, this is what our Lord said. He said, you cannot come to me. You cannot come to me. In John 5, our Lord said, you will not come to me. Even if you could, you won't. And even if you wanted to, you couldn't. If it was left up to our will, and this is what God says, this is not any man's opinion, this is what God Almighty says. If it was left up to our will, no one would be saved. Cannot come, will not come. If it is finally in my hands, I have no hope. No one would be saved. And here's the reason. If you're looking with me here at James 1, verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That is what is original to man. Sin, lust of the flesh, and that bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Death. The only thing that's original to man is sin. And that sin brings death. spiritual death, and eventually physical death. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says that every man and woman born into this world is born in dead in trespasses and sins. That's how we come forth. Dead in trespasses and sins. A dead man cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't do it. A dead man will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't do it. He's dead. He can't and he won't. And you know, God could have left us there. That's where we began. As we entered this world, we began this world dead, and God could have just left us there. He could have just been done with us, left us for dead. But do you know what the glorious news of the gospel is? The glorious news of God's own word is this: of his own will, he didn't leave us. Of his own will, he begat us. Of his own will, he begat us. Because he wanted to. That's why he did it. Because he wanted to. Because of a compassion that originated in him. Not because of any work that the dead man did. Not because of any feeling or emotion or decision that the dead man made. Of his own will. All because he wanted to. It's what he wanted to do. Because of a compassion that originated in him. He begat us. Now, if you're turning with me, look at Romans 9. Verse 15. Romans 9, verses 15 and 16. They say, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, no sinner, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." What that means is, he did it. He did it all. He is the one who did every bit of it. Our salvation, all done by him. The most amazing thing about it to me, this is something that I ponder often. This is so amazing. It's called amazing grace. And this is what makes it so amazing. He wanted to do this. Seeing just a little bit of the depravity of man, seeing a little bit of the death, the decay of the flesh, the stench that we are before God, it's amazing that God even wanted to. But he did. He did. We were nothing but rebellious against him, nothing but enmity against him, and he could have just been done with us. But he did not do it. He didn't do it. Of his own will, he begat us. Now, what does that mean? What does begat mean? Well, according to the dictionary, it means to bring forth. It means to give birth to. It means to generate. To generate. Look with me at John chapter 1. Over in John chapter 1, it says in verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus Christ made everything. Everything. Jesus Christ generated everything. Jesus Christ formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. Jesus Christ did that. He is the one who has given life and birth to every man and woman on this earth. If life comes forth, God did that. God gave that. But when man sinned against him in the garden, when Adam sinned and Eve sinned, every man that came from Adam and Eve died with Adam and Eve. When man sinned, man died. Spiritually died. Because of that sin, the Apostle Paul called this body the body of death. Spiritual death, which leads to physical death. And it does not matter how much religion a man has. It does not matter how much religion a man has. Men and women just immerse themselves in religion. And it does not matter how much religion a man has or a woman has. It does not matter how good a man is as he walks this life. It does not matter how moral a man is. It does not matter how much a man tries to obey the commandments of God. When it comes to the issue of eternal salvation, a man or a woman only has one hope. He or she can try to be as good as they can be. But here's why I say it doesn't matter. It's never going to be good enough. Never. Never. A man or a woman only has one hope. There is one hope. One hope alone. Our Lord told a man named Nicodemus what it was. If you look over a couple of pages at John 3, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man was a preacher. He was a preacher, a religious man. Verse 2 says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He said, we know that. He knew that Jesus Christ was of God. He acknowledged him to be so, openly. Our Lord, though, is about to tell him, and he's about to tell us by recording this for us, that this man Nicodemus still was not saved. He was a preacher. Not saved. A not saved preacher. That's what he was. He was a devout religious man. He went to church, and he was not saved. He was a ruler of the Jews, a respected man, a moral man, and not saved. Not saved. None of those things mattered when it came to the issue of eternal life. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, Nicodemus, you're doing all these things, you're a ruler of the Jews, but he said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is generated again. God generated every man and woman on this earth. Because of sin, we lost it all. We lost life. We lost spiritual life. If God leaves us alone, that's how we will remain for all eternity. Spiritually dead, physically dead. The only hope that any of us have, starting with me, the only hope that I have is if God of His own will come to us, you and me, and regenerate us. That's the only hope. Regenerate us. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what it took. That's what it took in order to remove the sin. As long as sin is there, there can be no life. As long as sin is there, there can be no life. Sin only brings death. The wages of sin is death. And in order to remove that rotting decay of sin from us, in order to pay off the debt with God that sin incurred, in order to put the fresh, sweet, as the scripture says, dew of youth, dew of youthful life back into us, there was only one thing that could accomplish that. One thing. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It took the word of truth. Now, John chapter 1, we were just there. In John chapter 1, verse 1 says, if we want to answer the question, what is the word of truth? John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the word of truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In John 3, he told Nicodemus, here he is telling this man, this religious man Nicodemus, he told him exactly what it took to save every soul that God of his own will purposed to save. John 3, verse 14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses and the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, and these deadly snakes were killing and biting and killing. The venom of these snakes, they were killing the people. And God said, you make a snake that looks just like the one that's killing the people out of brass, put it on a pole, and you lift it up, and you tell the people to look to that brazen serpent, and whoever looks will live. And the reason God told Moses to do that is because verse 14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so. In order to save a soul and regenerate a soul from the sin that was killing it, Christ had to be made the very sin that was killing his people. He had to. Christ had to take that sin upon himself and hang that sin in him on a pole, on a cross. And he had to suffer the effect of that sin in his own body. He had to die. He had to die. And the moment he did that, the moment he died, God's people lived. Every soul that he died for lived at that very moment. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, that we might live. As he is, so might we be. He arose, and we arose with him. He brought faith to us and caused us to look to him. We were dead, but now we see. And he did all this because he loved us. He loved his own. And because of that love of his own will, he gave his only begotten Son. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. He bought us with his own blood. I want to tell you a story, and I love this story, and I believe this is a very good illustration of what Christ did in order to save his people. There's a man that I love very dearly. He's been a missionary to Mexico for decades, many, many years. And he tells the story of a young boy down there in Mexico, that very young boy. This was many years ago. But he wanted a kite. And his family, like many of the families down there, they live in grass huts and they don't have hardly anything. His dad was a very poor man, barely put food on the table. And he didn't have the money to buy a kite. And that little boy wanted one so badly. And his father felt so sorry for him because he couldn't afford to buy him a kite. But he told his son, he said, let's make one. So they went and got some small straight sticks and they got some lightweight cloth. And he tied that cloth around that frame that they made and put a tail on it and put a string on it and flew it up. And it flew. And that boy was so excited. And it went higher and higher and higher until the string broke. And the string fell and the kite flew over the trees and out of sight. And that little boy went looking for it and he couldn't find it. He was so heartbroken. His dad was heartbroken for him. Well, a day or so later, the little boy was walking in the village, down the main street in the village, and he looked over in a shop right there in the village, and on a shelf in that shop was his kite. And he ran into that store, and he told the owner of that store, he said, Mister, that's my kite. And the man said, no, son, that's my kite. He said, but, sir, I made that kite with my father. We made it together. And he said, son, I found this kite stuck in the weeds, and it's mine now. And if you want it back, it's going to cost you 2 pesos. So that little boy ran home and he said, Dad, I found our kite. It's in a store in the village. And he said, it's going to cost 2 pesos to get it back. So his father reached in his pocket and had 2 pesos. He gave them to his son, and that little boy ran back in town and laid them on the counter and said, 2 pesos. And that man grabbed the kite and handed it to his son, and that little boy hugged that kite. Oh, he hugged it. He was so happy to have that kite back. And the store owner heard that little boy say as he was walking out the door, he said, you're mine. You're mine. He said, you're twice mine. I made you and I bought you. And that's what Christ did for us. May the Lord reveal that to our hearts and bless us by it. Till next week, may the Lord bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.